This is exactly right.
Karen, have you heard of Handsome? It's a new podcast from the brilliant comedians Tig Notaro, Fortune Feimster, and Mae Martin.
I have heard of it. People love it. Every week, this handsome trio of hosts takes a question from a famous friend, people like Stephen Colbert, Reese Witherspoon, Jamila Jamil, the Indigo Girls, and then they do their best to answer that question with plenty of hilarious detours along the way.
You're going to love hanging out with Tig, Fortune, and Mae every week, so go check out Handsome wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. Listen to a new episode of Handsome every Tuesday.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgare.
I thought I'd change it up a little.
I liked it. It was a little, just lilty at the end.
I've been waiting for someone to do an edit. I don't want someone to do this, by the way. This isn't a request, but I feel like I say it so identically every episode that a mashup of 100 of them would be hilarious because I don't change it up ever. So I thought
you're
I'd go
fair. You're absolutely requesting that. Just be honest.
I'd like to now officially make a request to not have anyone do that. This is
what
official.
A terrible assignment. Just could you please assemble 100 of the exact same intros of this podcast?
It's going to happen because I said 100. I even had stipulations. Please don't do it.
No, they won't. That's 100 so many. Don't worry about that.
I ran today. I haven't run for a while, so my legs are shaking. But this kid, as I was running, these kids were like throwing rocks at a fire hydrant or something. And they said, "Run, Forrest, run." And it caught me off guard so much that I laughed and I'm mad that they think that they said something funny. Not that that isn't one of my favorite jokes. It's up there with "That's what she said" as one of the all-time best jokes.
You should have turned back over your shoulder and been like, "That laugh was sarcasm. You're all hacks."
I know. There's a million things. Just like, you think of the thing to say. I even looked over and didn't say anything, but I looked over and one of them even looked right away a little like Gary Sinise. So I could have come up with a real good Lieutenant Dan retort, but no, I just ran.
Good. I think that's best.
There's just a lot of teenage bullies in my neighborhood. It's a rough area.
Sorry, you said they were kids.
Our guest today will back us up. He grew up here.
Sorry, hold on really quick. How old were these people?
13, maybe 12. But they were confident, and they were pretty big for their age.
Yeah.
And I was running.
That's children today.
I just think in this city, they'd be used to seeing a jogger. You don't need to heckle people. It's just a rough neighborhood.
You got to put those earbuds in and just jog. You could jog with the confidence of a 13-year-old throwing rocks at a fire hydrant.
Right. Focus on my breathing. Try and have fun with it. These kids got the best of me today, and I wish that I just was a faster thinker. I think I'm losing my speed with retorts, but not with running, because, man, was I going like the wind.
Are you losing it with your intros, though? Let's check it out right now.
I'm very excited for our guest today. You've seen him in clubs and colleges across America. He's one of our favorites, and it's been a while since we've seen him, so we're very excited. Put your ears together for Eric DeDorian.
Woo!
Woo! Hello? Yeah. Now do I talk? Yep. Hello?
You got free
and
reign.
And now you talk. Yep.
Chris Fairbanks, Karen Kilgariff, thank you so much for having me.
Hi, Eric DeDorian. I haven't seen you in literal years and years.
I dropped out of college. I dropped out of school.
Cool.
And I moved away to a different country, Baltimore.
Oh, yes.
Maryland.
Yes.
So I don't live in LA anymore, so I don't exist. So that's why. I mean, I missed you guys. Karen, I saw you in a movie, Licorice Pizza, and I yelled out loud to myself in the dark, really stoned, Karen!
Yay! Nice.
Were you in a theater or just alone at home?
Alone at home. I almost pulled the trigger on, because we have a baby and who was not vaccinated until pretty recently. Licorice Pizza was one I really wanted to see in the theater. I almost pulled the movie theater trigger on it. But I didn't, but I have, recently. Banshees got me in the multiplex.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I bet that was great in a theater. It's a big decision these days.
Yeah.
It actually is a kind of a decision.
Yeah. The theater here, there's like a small little indie theater called the Charles Theater. And during the week, it's like weeknights, it's just empty. And so I had 3 weeks in a row, I went and saw a movie, by myself in a theater. Banshees. Mm. And She Said, and then what was the third one? The Fablemans. I got to see by myself, and it was really nice. It was just nice to be back in the theater. But yeah, so that's my life. That's what I do. Once a week.
So you went at like a 2 p.m. matinee?
No. I got to go after bedtime because the baby.
Oh, okay.
Dinner, bedtime, and then I sneak away and come back. Quickly.
How old is this baby at this point?
The baby's going to be 2 next month.
Oh, a toddler.
A little pandemic baby. His name is George Valentine DeDorian.
Nice.
Valentine.
GG for short. Yeah.
After your favorite comedian, Gary Valentine.
That's him. Yeah. And wrestler. Yeah. Like I said, that's my life with the baby. Drew works at the bakery. My wife. She works at a bakery and I stay home with the baby. And then so once a week I get to go out and it's like, I can't overstate how much of a treat that first Banshee screening was. It was amazing. I got like so stoned on a doobie and I had like my perfect snacks. The theater is right next to the train station. So where I smoke my doobies, I just watch the trains coming into the train station. It's like, very picturesque. Gorgeous. And then I just like snuck in and I just got in my little seat and it was like this year, of course, there's like a million movies about like how cool movies are. So it's like, movies are cool.
It's funny that those were your theater choices, because when
I know
when I pull the trigger on a going like to Avatar. Theater, it has to be like Top Gun or something where it's like, well,
I saw She Said by myself in a movie about a New York Times article. Just the worst. I laughed at myself out loud in the theater going, what am I doing? But it was
that's your new Baltimore personality is kind of your intelligentsia. Are you one of those? Were you wearing kind of like a beret?
Yeah. And I just wait outside for anyone to talk to the movie about and like in real pontificating, like just like, I really liked the compositions, words like that, you know, composition and
themes.
Oh my
themes
God.
Is good.
Yeah. And like references to movies that sound like movies that I should have watched. Like, this reminds me of Bergman's Blue. Have you seen Bergman's Blue? Blue was so good.
Just to a passerby looking for where he parked his car.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. In Baltimore in the middle of the night. It's really, it goes off huge. It's huge. I'm huge.
Yeah, people.
If
people
you were to give like a tour of Baltimore, tell us about the city. Cause I don't know much, even though I've been there.
It's a scrappy city. We have a remarkable music scene in like anything you could ever think of to listen to. There's like 15 really great bands here that just put it out, and they just play shows, and they don't really, I mean, like not touring like nationally known acts, but like there's a great jazz scene that I wasn't really aware of, but like the jazz history is huge. So music, you like skating, don't you, Chris?
I certainly do.
Oh my God. I don't really, but there's so many good like skate spots here that I've noticed that people are skating.
Do people skate? I think I've seen footage near that wharf.
Yeah.
There is a wharf.
Yeah. The water is the big like tourist draw because the aquariums are right on the water, and the aquarium is like incredible. It's the National Aquarium.
Ooh.
It's really, really cool. It's really cool.
And that's where the War of 1812 also.
Yes.
There was a battle there. That's all I know about Baltimore.
We held it down, the War of 1812. There's a tower. Yeah. There's a tower, and then and the people were behind in the tower, and then behind a wall. And then the British were like doing their fucking, no, was it the British Day, War of 1812? No.
I don't know. That's all I know is Baltimore was part of that war.
This is the idea that the War of 1812 took place in Baltimore is absolutely new information to me.
If I
had to guess, I would have been like France.
I thought it was like New Orleans. Wasn't that the War of 1812? That's what I always thought before I moved to Baltimore.
What if I'm wrong? I know there's a Baltimore battle of some kind, and I was hoping
It is, and they celebrate. There's like a day devoted to it, but I cannot remember what it was.
4th of July?
It was the 4th of July. No, it was the 4th of July. It was like,
it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm confusing that. Okay. I'm just remembering not the War of 1812, but a 4th of July in my youth. That's what it was.
I'm not good at repping the city like Rob Lowe is in the California commercials. Have you seen them?
Yes. But Eric, what if you could become that? I think you should aim to be Rob Lowe of Baltimore's California and just get out there and be like, we love it here.
Yeah.
We have this tower.
Yeah.
Also, never forget the War of 1812.
Yeah. Never, ever.
Who was also with, and then you explain Mexico, who that involved.
Mexico or Canada.
Yeah.
One could have been.
Guys. Yeah. John Waters.
And then take a sip of your Atkins shake. Because Rob Lowe, there's so many things you can promote.
I think that's what I think I got to get into Atkins first, and then let that set the tone, and then just walk around the city, you know, trying to sell people on the city, which I think I'd be pretty good at.
In this commercial, what if the last shot was you shaving your mustache that you have now down to a John Waters mustache? No, you didn't.
Yeah, because I only shower and shave at the end of the day, and I'm usually like really high and tired, and it just gets real wild in there, especially if I have a lot of work. If I get a lot to work with, I'm like, and last time with this mustache, I tried. I was like, let me go John. Let me just do a little bit of John and see what people say. And I fucked it up. And then so it's too thick. It's hard. It's hard to pull off. He's so like.
It really is.
It looks good.
He's so
now.
Meticulous. Yeah, thank you. I feel good.
It's borderline Watersy right now.
It's Watersy.
It's Waters-esque.
Yeah. I saw him twice. I saw him walking out of Crazy Rich Asians, it was amazing. With like 20 minutes left, he just like shuffled out of there.
He's like, that's plenty.
Yeah. I feel it, John. And then one time, I saw him at like the Maryland Film Festival. He introed a movie that he liked.
So I didn't know that John Waters is famously from Baltimore.
Yeah. Big time. That's
big
like
time.
Yeah.
Films everything in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite and anything that's ever happened in cinema is in, I won't be able to remember, it may be Female Trouble, but I can't remember which movie it is. But there is a shot that they shot of Divine dancing down the street, and they did it. They just like put her on a street corner, got into a car with the camera, and were like danced down the street. So everybody else that's in the shot has not agreed to be in a movie.
Of course.
Yes.
They don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And this probably to their eye, just a very a large woman is just dancing her ass off down the street to music that isn't playing. And it, in the movie, it's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
Like, it is just one, it's one thing that delights me to no end. If I was on a deathbed and someone came up with a phone, I'd love to see that, like, right before I go, because it's one of my favorite things of all time.
It was TikTok, like, 50 years before TikTok. Now, everywhere people are just dancing in the street. Yeah.
Fucking John Waters invented that, like, street dancing TikTok move, and Divine did it alone amongst, like, hostels, probably.
I got goosebumps. I got goosebumps thinking about Divine. It's so good. I've never seen any John Waters movies, so this is good. This is good.
That's a good one to start with.
It's a good Baltimore primer, too. I think it's like, I've been here for 5 years now. I think it's a good time to get into some Baltimore stuff. You guys are getting me into it. Yeah, this is cool. Okay. This is good. I'm glad. No, this is working out.
No, I'm really glad we did this. I think it's important.
Yeah, this is great.
I was there shooting a commercial and with Joe Flacco, who I didn't even know was like the Ravens quarterback, or he
football
was at the time.
God.
And he was really sweet, but he immediately befriended me on the set of this commercial because he knew I had no idea who he was.
Who he was,
made me like him. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
There was one scene in the commercial where I had to hike him a bag of Doritos. and
classic
like,
commercial.
Was surprised when he grabs it. Like, it surprises you because you don't know he's going to grab it. And I'm like, well, then why am I hiking it? But I wasn't doing a good job summoning the surprise. And I swear to God, when I put the bag down there, he tapped my balls kind of hard to get the reaction from me. And then I liked him even more. So if you ever see Joe Flacco,
method actor. He's a method quarterback.
He gets it.
Yeah.
And he really gave me a slap. I had a little bit of a bellyache after that.
I bet. From laughing.
But then we went back, we ate at some seafood place on that wharf. And I got on a plane and I that's all I saw of Baltimore.
I mean, that's pretty good. You saw
that is.
You met a football god and you had crabs on the water. That's like, that's not bad. That's not bad.
If only Joe Flacco was an expert on the War of 1812 and he could have just explained a couple highlights that would have stuck in your mind, Chris, because you were having like this, you know, like prime experience.
Yeah.
Then you would be able to tell us what all that's about.
Yeah, I would have remembered everything in that moment. I was thinking so clearly. Just because he really gave me a slap. I know I already mentioned that, but it really, I'm now remembering that it was actually kind of painful.
It's a bold move.
It is. And I respect him for it.
Yeah.
It's very jock. It's such a jock move.
Yeah.
It's just like, your private area is my business. I am going to alpha you. We're going to give this director the results they want.
Yep.
Yeah.
Here's to you, Doritos. Yeah. Right.
But he did apologize profusely after. And, and I also respect that he's a quarterback. And in another part of the commercial, he's supposed to throw a Pepsi. This was for Doritos and Pepsi, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm not just making up these products. And Tostitos.
Can you believe it?
He's supposed to throw the Coke like a football. Supposed to throw it like a spiral into a sound blanket. These two guys were holding up a sound blanket. We're in a rented house. And he threw it and it just went straight up and hit the wall. Burst open, and there was just Pepsi sprayed on this white wall, and we all just laughed. And God, I miss Joe Flacco.
He seems great.
He's great.
Yeah.
We love him on this podcast.
He is, and he's had his hands probably like under so many people's balls as
a
quarterback
than mine.
Yeah.
It's no big deal to him.
No.
And he treated me like I was a star football player myself. He gave
me
that
same
respect.
That's really sweet. Yeah.
I think that's very Baltimore.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
To be like of the people and be like, hey, you can have a, what I believe you guys call a sack tap.
Yeah. I think it's a sack tap.
But there's like, so many variants. The sack tap, there's like, I'm trying to hurt you sack tap, which is like a high school sack tap. I got a lot of those. But this sounds more like a, hey, buddy, I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here.
Inspirational. Yeah.
Just checking in.
You
just a checking in.
Yeah.
I love that.
Lit a fire under my ass. And I think I was better in that commercial for it.
Yeah.
Joe.
Have you seen a thing online about how dudes like to snuggle? And it's always like, they always like to get snuggled from the back in a sitting position. Have you? Is this just pop up on my feed? Is this just a my feed thing? Oh, no.
No, I get lot of Little Spoon stuff.
Yeah. What? You do. You do, right?
Yes.
It subscribes to Little Spoon Monthly.
Oh, God.
What do you, when you say dudes, do you mean, are we talking about frat boys?
Yeah,
what
bros?
I mean, like, just like bros, online bros. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Like a royal bro that is like online, like dudes are like this and like, you know, those kinds of guys.
Got
you know, Old Spice bros. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Lad Bible.
Yes. A lot of lads. Yeah. Stuff. Lads are the new bros. Yeah. Yeah.
Lads. Wait, sorry, though. Are they snuggling like while they watch television in their shared apartment?
So like the video, most of the video, it's like a trend. So there's like, I've seen like a million of the same video, essentially, where it's like a woman is like in a guy's nook, right? And it's like, guys don't like to cuddle like this. This is how guys really want to cuddle. And then like, they'll like snuggle in, like in between their partner's legs and kind of like, you know, sit toboggan style. Toboggan style is the one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where they're like laying down, but essentially she's on his shoulder.
In a chair. Yeah. Like in the couch, you know, sitting up, but in the, you know, birth canal.
I've never seen this.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
I thought you meant this is how bros like to cuddle with each other.
Oh, like, no. What? I wish.
I honestly thought that's what you meant. Oh. I was like, okay.
I
well,
wish
this
it was
seems...
that.
Well, I was trying to tie that in. I was trying to tie that into the Flacco Fairbanks affair, which is like
yes.
kind of what I like most about sport. What I like about by far the most about sports, and I love sports, and I know they're so dumb, like so, so dumb, but I love them so much. Is that kind of dude-on-dude love. Like, that is always yes. going to be there in any sport, no matter what. Mm-hmm. And that's what that felt like. I would be like,
yeah.
If a dude, like a quarterback, like a sports legend, is he's a legend in Baltimore. I'm not, and I don't throw that word around.
you never have.
Never have. That's like probably not even in the LA. Eighth time I've used that word in my life. Like, if a legend tapped me on the balls and it kind of hurt, I feel like I would be comforted by that, which is what I feel like those videos are about those dudes. They want to be comforted, have their backs watched. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, secured. Because usually, you know, dudes are standing alone with their backs, you know, to the world.
Okay. Yeah.
And I didn't know what a privilege I had experienced until I called my dad, of course, immediately to Brett, because I knew my dad would care that I was on a commercial with Joe Flacco.
Oh, man.
And he just unsolicited said, did he tap you?
He did? He said that?
For real?
That's his thing?
No, I did. Oh. I did describe it. And I told him about it. And he really seemed to appreciate it as much as I did. And I'm like, good. That's why I'm your son.
I was talking to somebody about how professional athletes of every sport, in any sport, and I know what you mean, Eric, where it's like when you feel like you like them too much, but they really, it really is. I am forced to watch football with my dad every football season when I go home to visit him. And I absolutely revere and admire and appreciate the excellence it takes to be one of those people that's playing that game. It's not, it is a big deal. It is a very difficult, very specialized thing.
Yeah.
I've watched so many 30 for 30s about
it. Oh, so good.
But that kind of socialization, like if Joe Flacco, I would imagine, has been playing football since he was 8 years old for his entire life. So that is the world he's always lived in.
Yeah.
That was his, like, if someone could translate that to Chris.
Yeah.
It's like, that was his, you know.
Reaching out. That's like an alien reaching out. Like E.T. That was an E.T. touch.
And
the boy.
And I home immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. I know!
Turn on your heart light. Because Joe Flacco just put a red hot finger onto the back of your balls.
Wait, is that song about E.T.? Turn on your heart light!
Literally, it is about E.T. Yeah.
I don't know that song. That sounds awesome. That song sounds really cool.
Neil Diamond.
Oh,
Neil Diamond, turn on your heart light.
Yeah, beautiful.
Sports legend in Boston, Neil Diamond. Because they sing Sweet Caroline. That's like the ninth time I've used it now. Legend. Because they sing Sweet Caroline instead of Take Me Out to the Ball Game at Fenway Park. And it's awesome. It's kidding. Like one of the best things in sports. Oh, it's one of the best.
Because everyone does it?
Yeah, it's incredible. And like, I got goosebumps.
I feel like the yelling the da-da-da after that is from the now kind of controversial movie, Beautiful Girls. Remember, they're all in the bar.
Yeah.
Were people doing it before that?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Because that's a Boston movie, right? Isn't it? Beautiful Girls?
It's an Ed Burns movie. So wherever he's from.
I think he's like a Boston. Oh, there's so... All his movies are... Is he going to be on this podcast?
No. Yeah, he's next week's guest, so we can't talk about
there goes my Burns cash. I just burned up all my Burns cash. That's what I call industry. That's an industry term when you want to get in with someone, Burns cash.
The Burns cash. Yeah. You need at least $100 worth of Burns cash to get into any major party.
Yeah. I'm never going to get into... I'm never going to be in Beautiful Girls 2.
Oh. Yeah. You never know.
I could be.
Sweet Caroline reminds me of like being drunk in college and being at bars where people were doing that.
And they
sing it along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 was
they did
of
the
it.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay. I had never heard of it until Beautiful Girls. And I wish they would do a remake with an age appropriate Natalie Portman.
They do it in, oh my God. She had a rough childhood with the movies that she was doing.
Always sexualized 12-year-old.
She was perfect looking. Yeah. So, of course, that's what Hollywood does. But I mean, I remember, you go ahead because I think we might say the same thing.
I saw The Professional in the theaters. Right. My dad took me to see The Professional and he should not have. I was like, I was 10 or 11. And that movie, Gary Oldman is so scary in that movie.
Yeah, he's horrifying.
And he fucked me up for a long time. And I remember thinking like, damn, that movie really fucked me up. It really must have done something to Natalie Portman. Like, she was in it. She had to act with that dude.
Well, the movie itself, especially through today's eyes, you look back and just go, if there were any adults in the room, they should have spoken up because that's really gross and weird.
Yeah.
And she's 10.
And my sister, my dad looks a lot like Jean Reno, or he did when I was a kid around that time. And my sister had the same haircut and like wore chokers. And so they would just walk around like that all the time. People would
not just Halloween.
No, but one time somebody on the plane commented on it once and it was huge for our family. They're like, the professional. Yeah. I was like, oh, you look the professional, both of you. And I was like, I want to be in the movies. I want to be a part of that.
Eric, you and I, we were in a music video together. That was fun.
Yeah, it was not.
It was great, though. I watched it all the time.
Oh, yeah. It's
I
a really
the
good
song.
Yeah.
You were great in it.
I got my ass kicked. It was like, I forget the director.
What song? Tell us
it's
a little
so
bit
good.
About
yeah,
what's
Karen,
happening.
It's
Lace Curtains.
Before that, it was a band called Harlem, a punk band that I already liked.
Yeah,
and I love that song.
Yeah, I do
and
too.
We all got to be, my role was like the ridiculous crossing his eyes prop comic.
You were so funny. You and Lizzie Cooperman. Dana
Bredesen
was
like the rage-filled tell it like it is comic.
Yeah.
And Lizzie Cooperman was like she was so ridiculous and crossing her eyes and acting like a bird. And then when they intro'd the show, they're like, we got three great comics and then another guy. And that was you. And you're like,
and that was me. And I was like the headliner and I felt so bad because you guys were so good. And then I didn't know what to do. And I was supposed to just go up there and like act like I didn't know what I was doing. And I thought that I was doing that pretty good because I didn't know what I was doing.
That was what your character was supposed to do. And you danced.
I did. Yeah. That was like that. That was one of my formative acting on camera moments. I like learned so much because I got my ass kicked. She Wendy McComb is the director's name. And she just was like, you're not giving me what I want. And we were there hours after everyone left. Everyone left. It was just me and her at Old Echoes Under Sunset. I was like dancing. I'm like, not a dancer. I mean, we can get into that later.
it says here you're a dancer. the information we were given.
Wait a second. So she literally let everyone else go home and kept you after.
It was like he was in trouble. I remember.
And she was just the cinematographer. she wasn't. Ingrid Betson was the director, and he just went home. It was a Sunday. He's like, I'm gonna go to the movies, and I was like, cool, dude. And we were there for hours, and I remember like, and didn't get paid, but that's okay because it was such a good experience. It really was. That this is actually one of those times where it actually was, because I like, she kicked my fucking ass, man. It was awesome. It felt really good.
I felt that,
and so too. You liked? Did you like how it turned out?
Yes. Yeah,
I did.
It's a little cringy to watch. I feel cringy to watching myself, but yeah, it was great. I loved it.
It's horrible to watch yourself. It's a nightmare.
I was being so over the top that I just can't watch myself trying to be normal.
Yeah.
That's what bothers me. But if I'm allowed to act ridiculous, then I can watch it. But that song is called Lace Curtains, Pink and Gold. It's great.
Pink and Gold. Yeah.
We were great in it.
I got lucky. I did a few music videos before we left LA, and all the songs were good. Because if you like doing a music video and the song sucks, then you're listening to that song all day and you're hungry. You're hungry, you're over caffeinated, and that song is playing. And it better be, but I was like, all the songs that I do music videos for were really good. I was like,
I really do like that song. It's in my Spotify liked songs.
Yeah, it's
gorgeous. That's without the video.
Yeah, his voice is really good.
I always thought it was the coolest thing as a comic to be in a music video. I think I saw like David Cross in a new pornographer's video, a band I really like. Those two worlds colliding is just, it took me
by surprise. It's so cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I love music videos. I mean, they're still around, right? I mean, they're kind of like have weathered the storm.
A little bit.
Yeah.
It feels like they're predominantly, like, rappers are the ones that really make the rad ones that like you talk about and pass around.
Yeah. It's always been.
It feels to me.
Yeah.
I don't know the last like mainstream rock video I saw that I was like, thank you. That was great. Oh, sorry. That's incorrect. Now that I think about it, it's because I personally don't watch like MTV or VH1 anymore.
Neither,
when I was home for the holidays, we were all sitting around and somebody put on Miley Cyrus's Flowers video.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
She shot this video in the house where her ex-boyfriend,
Liam Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Liam Hemsworth, not Thor, but his younger brother, cheated on her in this house. So she went and shot the video in the house. Because the whole song is about, like, I'll buy my own flowers, I'll do my own thing.
Wearing his suit. She was wearing his suit, too, wasn't she?
Is that true?
I think so. I think that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, there's a part where she's wearing a suit, and she just looks amazing. And she's like, we're just so proud of Hannah Montana. For truly being such a legend at this point.
Yeah.
But
totally.
We're literally, so it was either my sister or Adrian. They were like, hold on, you need to see this. And then we all sat around and watched it. We're like, it was so good.
I can't believe I didn't watch it the other day when I went down a wormhole of watching. She sang with Metallica. She did a bunch of rock songs at Taylor Hawkins's memorial concert.
Yep.
Like with
did you go to that? Like, did you go to that?
No, I just watched a bunch of them because she was meant to sing like Lita Ford or Pat Benatar. She's got the best gravelly rock voice.
Yeah.
That it's like, I want her to be the singer for Metallica now.
Yeah.
I'm like, she That'd did like so Nothing Else Matters cover.
That's so sick.
Yeah.
During that's
Metallica.
During quarantine, they did that big like a benefit for music venues that were having to shut down because like that business was so rocked by quarantine and everything. And they did a thing, I think either at the Roxy or the Whiskey, and she came out and sang the Cranberries' Zombie.
Oh my God.
It was so fucking good. People were retweeting on Twitter and I was just like, like it was the most exciting cover. It was just so good.
I love covers.
I already knew she was amazing.
Yeah.
But then when somebody does a hard song beautifully and perfectly, it's just like, oh my God, she's just so good.
Yeah. Rest in peace to the singer from
I know.
Yeah.
To Loris O'Riordan.
Yeah. Incredible. Yeah. That anytime anyone ever says that like the name the title of that song, I just get goosebumps.
There might be a draft in that basement you're in right now. Do you need a
sweater? It is really cold. Yeah,
is it this wharf, this Baltimore wharf wind?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a wharf.
Are you getting the wind of 1812 down in that basement?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, she actually passed, and my dad, we had some moments remembering Dolores, and we listened to Linger and the other better song.
So good.
Dreams. Dreams came on, and it's so funny to have a dad say this. He was like, this might be one of the best rock songs of all time. And I was like, yeah.
Your dad sounds amazing.
I was very surprised to hear him say that, because as your parents get older, they start going back to all the 50s and 60s music they listened to as kids.
Yeah.
Like, that's all he listens to now. But I remember a brief period where he's like, have you heard this new Cranberries track, he'd call it?
That's so cute. He used to be a DJ? Yeah. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sick. That's so sick. Is that my catchphrase? I just heard the best. I love covers. I like cover, like a good bar cover band. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. The best.
Pull up a chair and I'm there. Tenacious D did a cover for like Sirius XM of Wicked Game. And Jack Black sang the shit out of that song. Have you heard it?
Yeah.
Oh my.
I watched the video.
Yeah.
Because I think it was on, I follow him on TikTok. He puts out good content.
Yeah.
But that thing, I mean, here's the thing. And I think most people know this at this point, but Jack Black has one of the best singing voices.
He like, really does.
Hands down.
He really does.
The range is huge. There's a really great video of him singing. I think it's for a Clippers game or
WNBA
some basketball game.
Yeah.
Is it? He's singing the Star Spangled Banner or whatever.
Which is hard. Right?
Yeah.
It's one of the hardest songs to sing. Even if you have range, it's hard to stay on key for that song because it just gets a little wacky. I think people have gotten much better at it now.
But
he is, it's like he was born to sing that song.
Oh my
God.
And
it's just like, he just is such a music man.
Wait, have you ever sang the national anthem in like an official capacity? Like at
Karen
a place? Yeah. Yeah.
Karen can do it.
You know what's funny about that? And this is one of my great regrets. I was asked to sing the national anthem at the beginning of a comedy show by Jamal James.
Jamal Johnson? General Jamal
you
Johnson?
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know him that well, but he DM'd me and was like, hey, will you sing the national anthem at the beginning of this? And I immediately was like, yes, I will. Well, this was pre-COVID, but just before. So it was like maybe 6 months before. I wanted to do it so bad. But of course, like leading up to it, it was like I worked every day for fucking 16 hours or whatever leading up to it. And then I was just like the day of where every hour of that day, I was like, you're going to go do this. You have to go do it. And then it was like 7 o'clock and I was still working. And then I was just like, I'm not fucking going to that show. And I just flaked on it.
Yeah.
Like a dick. I always felt terrible, but I also was like, I just don't want to go and be mediocre to start their show. Like
you would
suddenly
never
the
be.
Pressure was on.
Yeah.
It's just like, but it was that kind of thing. It's that when you stop doing stand up, which I know, Eric, you've sometimes taken a break, that feeling where
I'm on a
if
break
you go
now.
Back. It's that kind of like the intimidation factor. It's all in your head. So it just goes out the window. But I knew that if I did it, even if it was, you know, not great near the Rockets Red Glare part, it still would be funny. Like I could be funny about not doing it perfectly.
Yeah.
But then I get so like when it comes to singing, I get so in my head about it. So.
Yeah. Rockets Red Glare part is the point of no return. You better have started at the right octave. Oh, boy.
Yeah. And it's at the end of the song. It is it's Baltimore, written in Baltimore.
By Francis Scott Key?
Yeah. Yeah, off the wharf. It was a wharf wind. It's a wharf wind song. He was like on a boat on the wharf and he was like, look at those fucking rockets. Red glare.
Yeah. Please don't lie because I'm going to repeat this as trivia.
I'm not. It's true. is that the dog of truth?
That's
the
thing. That's, yeah. That's
every
right.
time the dog barks, you know you haven't lied.
Bullshit. Yeah.
It's the final test.
I also, Karen, I want to hear you sing at some point. I don't know if you have the New Year's Eve song, Auld Lang Syne.
Auld Lang Syne.
Have you ever sang that?
No.
Oh, my God. That'd be so good.
To an old acquaintance. That's like a drunk song.
Yeah, I love that.
It's like borderline Sweet Caroline.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite old songs of all time. It's so good.
What a reason to fall off the wagon.
It's so sad and fun at the same time. And it's like,
sad. Yeah.
It gets you in the mood. It's like the best Christmas song.
It feels like... It's also like the kind of song where everybody hates New Year's. Everybody had a disappointing New Year's in some way, usually every single year.
Yeah.
And that song plays while you're looking around going like, oh, I don't want to kiss that.
I know. And, it's so good.
It sucks. And another New Year where, you know.
I guess it's his drama. Body pillow with an anime character on it again. I, and a lot of people have messaged, because we've talked about this before, but Eric, I want Karen to do covers of Sunday's songs. I feel like she could do Harriet Wheeler's voice. I don't know if you're a big fan. Karen and I both bonded on Sundays. It's kind of
Cranberries. Okay.
It's like the original Cranberries and a little more
English
dream pop.
I think you're too young, Eric, but when I was in college and when Chris was in high school, I think probably.
Yeah.
This band came out and they were very like, it was very like independent record store. That's the first time I heard them. I walked in and it was playing and I literally like ran to the front like, who is this? What's happening?
Yeah.
And she just has one of those like amazing voices. And so then later when the Cranberries came out, I was like, I hate this band because I love the Sundays.
Yeah.
And
it's like, I hate when that happens.
You don't
it does
have
happen,
to
though.
Pick one.
Yeah, and but
it was very
80s. You do, yeah.
And I love the Cranberries, but I didn't like the,
oh my God. So visceral.
I'm sorry that I had to do that.
I want to go to Ireland every time I hear that.
I'm sorry.
No.
You know, Eric, I think you would know who the Sundays were if Karen just did.
Yeah.
Just a reminder of here's where the story
People
ends.
I know, places I go, make me feel tongue-tied. We can't do that.
There
we
you
can't
go.
Sing on the show.
Yeah.
Here, why not? Why not? But you're so good. Oh, because
no, no, we have to pay for it.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Well, only if it's you did less than 10 seconds. I'm
just
deciding.
Sing your own songs then. You have so many.
It's 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Okay. I can do it like this. She sings like this. There. Then that's not a tune.
Yeah.
Now do you know
it's not recognizable in any way.
Can you just in your head, in your music brain, augment the melody just a little bit like they do in like knockoff commercials?
That's what I just tried to do, but it came out as not a tune.
It's impossible to do that in your brain.
All you need to do, and I've done a little research on this, and that's how Weird Al got away with it. You have to change the genre of song from drama to comedy. So you just did a comedic version of Here's Where the Story Ends. We are free and clear. That's Article 90.
Yeah.
In the parody at laws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally, there's a lawyer in our legal department, Jim, who has to clear this show specifically.
Yeah,
I do this to him constantly.
It's just sin. You have one of the best voices of all time. And Chris, your mouth trumpet is like really impressive.
Oh, thank you.
I'm a novice mouth trumpeter. And I was like, the first time I heard your mouth trumpet, I was like, damn, he's going off right now with the mouth trumpet.
Did you think it was a real horn?
No. I can't play a real horn to save my life. But if I get nervous enough, I will pop off with some mouth trumpet. When I get nervous, it just comes out. And it's usually pretty good.
It's a good cover.
I was taught how to do it by my my fireman brother-in-law I was very young. He was good at mouth horn. And then I focused on it. And that's how I learned.
It's beautiful. It's good to have in your back pocket.
Oh, thanks.
You can just pull it out.
I've had an ear for music. That's why they threw a trombone my way in sixth grade.
It sucks that music. So that's why I love Auld Lang Syne, because it's, what's it called? It's free. It's a free property. No, what's it called?
Right. Yep.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah.
Even the birthday song isn't that.
Yeah.
It is now.
It is now.
It went over 100 years. It's free. God damn it.
Public domain?
Public domain, that's it.
Yes, there it is.
There it is.
Free has nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
it's public domain. Nice one.
That's why, I guess, when you go to a TGI Fridays and they bring over your brownie with a candle in it, they have to go, birthday, birthday, fun, fun, birthday, birthday, fun. They just do their own.
Like Mo at Mo's in The Simpsons.
That was Mo. It's so weird to find out.
It's hard.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That was a pretty good one.
Thanks. I like impressions as much as I like song covers.
So, Eric, what have you learned being especially a primary caregiver of your now 2-year-old son?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Let's hear some life lessons, things that you've learned, because that is a very difficult job, as many of us know, or at least have heard about. So let's hear about some of the things you've learned by being a father.
Yeah.
The hardest part off the bat is just feeling bad about yourself the whole time. Like, just thinking, like, literally every action and every moment, oh my God, somebody would do this so much better. Somebody is like, that's the hardest part. And then there's never like, maybe this was just me. I think most regular adults probably know this already, but there isn't like a moment of like a switch coming on where you're like, not a parent, not a parent, not a parent. And then you see the baby and then you're a parent all of a sudden. Like that never happened. I literally lost my mind. I mean, it was during the pandemic. I was going through all this family stuff and I was becoming a parent while like the family stuff was bad. And like, I stopped talking to my family and was becoming a parent at the same time. So I lost my mind and, you know, stopped doing comedy and like stopped talking to all my comedy friends. And it became like really, really bad. But then it got so good. And it's so, it's really easy, it turns out, to like not hit your kid or yell at your kid so far.
Sure, yeah.
I thought that was going to be hard because I got yelled at and I got hit and I was like, oh my God, am I going to do this to the kid? It turns out it's super fucking easy to not do that shit.
Yeah.
Because it's a tiny baby.
But other than that, all of a sudden your problems don't mean anything when there's a tiny human. Yeah.
And that is the best problem. And that's the best thing, but also is people reminding you of that all the time. It was like I was like, oh, do I complain a lot? Like, am I just a hot mess this entire time? Like, all these people came out of the woodwork with surprise, like being surprised by how I was parenting, how easy it was.
Yeah, you're so mellow now. You're not so quick to anger. I didn't know I was that way.
But that's true. It's true. And I knew. Anger was like a huge problem with me. It's ruined so many relationships because of my past and stuff. And I've talked about it in therapy.
Oh, I was kidding. I
no, but it's true. It's true.
I've never seen, you're the last person
I've
I would
never,
describe
I've
as
never
angry.
Seen you act like that. Yeah.
I know. That's the scary part. That's why it's like
it's
really
private.
Bad.
Oh, you keep
it's a,
it.
I'm a Libra. It's like a two-face. I'm a two-face.
Oh, you're an old two-face.
I'm a little two-face. And it just like, when I pop off, it pops off. Because that's the way it was growing up. Like, you never know when it's going to pop off. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, I have to defend myself.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. But with the baby, it's, oh my God, he's so funny. And should I tell the story of how we came up with George?
Oh, sure.
So there's a hospital, there's a school, a college here called, I think it's Jimmy Hopkins? Is it Johns Hopkins. That's
Jimmy Johns Hopkins?
Yeah. So that's where we had the baby because Drew has the good insurance. And we were driving there and it was driving to the hospital and driving home from the hospital were two of the most surreal moments. Like that was especially driving home. But driving to, it was like a real, there's so much clarity in my head. Like I just really felt tight but was like in a riffy, but it was like riffy, like a riffy tight. And I was like, oh fuck, I wish I could do a set tonight. I feel great.
Drew being the worst audience you could possibly find in the world.
She just,
like,
I mean,
give me none of this.
Yeah, she was not listening to me. But we pulled up next. There's a lot of Greeks in Baltimore, big Greek population. And there's a van that pulled up next to us right as we were pulling into the hospital. And it said Acropolis Construction. And as soon as I read that, instantly, I thought in my head, Rome wasn't built in a day, but the Acropolis was. Acropolis Construction. I was like, oh my God. Like,
you got to tell them.
I got to tell them. Let's make a commercial because that's just a really good commercial.
It is.
You just start spray painting it on their van.
Yeah. Can I just talk to these people really fast? I'm going to drop you off out front and I'm just going to go.
I got some ideas.
Let me just get
We're
her on
pouring
tape
a
real
foundation
quick.
Right now. Who is this guy?
But then we got into the room and we put on the Food Network, the most comforting of all channels.
Sure.
And the most comforting guy in the whole world, Guy Fieri, was just ripping open a brand new Triple D.
Oh.
And it was like right at the beginning, right? We got settled in, turned the TV on, boom, Triple D starting. And he goes, "Today we're going to the Broadway Diner in Baltimore, Maryland," which was like down the street from Jimmy's Hopkins where we were. And
a perfect first thing for your son to see.
Yeah, because he's like the closest thing we have to a religion in this house is Guy and his, what he does. But we talked about names. There's like a short list that was like none of them had been like confirmed, you know, like, and George was not on it. And so I was like, okay, so this is crazy that he's in Baltimore. Whatever this chef's name is that he's going to talk to right now, we're going to name our baby. And Drew was like, okay. And then so this like sweet, big, like Greek guy named George was like the chef of this diner who basically said two words. And I was like, that's all I want my baby to be like. And it turned out that Drew had had pitched that name a while ago. And it never registered. And she like always liked it. And so it was George.
That's so, if you don't mind me stealing your phrase, so sick.
Yeah, I know.
I was going to say it's so legendary.
Guys. Oh my there's God.
In my hometown, there's
synchronicities.
There's a kid I remember, George Koudelaris. His family owned Acropolis Euro shop.
Whoa.
Yeah. All the more reason to name your baby George.
Yeah. That's perfect. That's like, that's the whole world coming together and the Greeks just really, really sticking to their script, knowing what works for them.
Did you do any research or did you just figure it out? Like, did you get the Dr. Oz baby book? How prepared?
I'm so bad with that. I feel like, well, one of the main things was like, I'm such a dummy. And all the books are written by like academics. And even the books that are like, this is us, like telling it to you plain. Even those books are like written by these like doctors and like academics. And I just, that shit just always is in one ear out the other with me. It's really bad that I like have just been, Drew's so great. Like she did all this research. We have the Mayo Clinic book, which was a really good.
Yeah, that's probably better.
Yeah, that was good.
Dr. Oz. Oz. What am I?
Dr. Spock.
Dr. Spock.
Sorry.
Dr. Spock's the one that, like, here's the thing, and I think the good part about it is that all of these things are trends, and as we all evolve as people learn better. So, like, Dr. Spock.
Sorry, that's my fault.
Dr. Spock is the one who used to tell mothers, when your baby's crying after you put your baby to bed, don't go pick the baby up. Let it cry itself out. And that is absolutely, like, these days they're like, oh, the damage that was done by those generations.
Parenting.
Do me a favor and try. Do that. Try that.
Yeah.
Try that once and see how that works out for you.
Yeah. Just a loose baby crying its head off. It's like, oh, so sad.
Dr. Spaz would be a really good name. Like S-B-O-Z.
That's your new character.
Spaz.
Just the face divided down the middle.
Just super weird pediatrician.
Yeah. Oh my God, look at that. No, I just thought of something else. What are you talking about? What is this?
What, baby?
What? Oh, we're going to do it, guys. We're going to do it. Hold on. Let me finish my Dr. Pepper. It was the baby. And then like, the main thing with the baby is like he came out knowing a bunch of shit already. He was just like so aware and like knew that I needed help. Like changing diapers was like, he's like, oh man, I better cool it with this guy. This does not seem like he knows what he's doing. I'm just gonna be really good and just let him.
And his little hand goes down and shows you where to put the flap.
Yeah, flap. It's just gonna stick. Just leave it. You're done. You got it. Just leave it alone. You got it.
Little fingers opening a perfect safety pin, putting it in. I assume you use
just knocking stuff out of my hand. Don't do that. Yes, from cartoon. We use cloth diapers with a giant safety pin from the cartoon.
Yes.
We get it shipped from Tiny Toons.
I used to have one of those. My mom kept like two of our diaper pins, and I used to play with it when I was, you know, like 7 or 8. Those things are so, like, they're like on spring action.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If you get it out of the little safety area, yeah, and it flicks, oh, like, I would injured myself
it's
multiple
a switch
times
blade.
With like,
yeah.
Yes, yeah. Horrifying.
The switch. It's a huge.
Yeah, they still make me nervous. The minute I try and operate one, my hands get clammy. And that does not make it easier.
It's crazy how much dangerous stuff there is everywhere. And we don't, like, we live in a kind of an old house, and like the walls are, it's a row house. It's a real Baltimore row house. And we like don't know. I just flashed in my head that people who are actually from Baltimore are going to listen to this and they're going to be so mad at me because I didn't say anything like real about Baltimore. They're going to be so mad. But like, we can't, like, we couldn't do the baby gates. And there was just a lot, like, some stuff that we couldn't do because the house is so old and it's just terrifying all the time. But that's good. That to me is good. It keeps me on my toes.
Right.
It's good. It's good to be
Did
terrified all
proofing?
The time.
Did you pad corners?
Padded corners, locked
That's
up.
All you need to do.
Locked up drawers. The drawers are also very big.
The switchblade drawer.
The switchblade drawer.
That's
good. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, the poetry drawer.
Keep that poetry.
You will not read poetry.
And you will not dance.
No.
My sister was a single mother, so she would have to, like, you know, if she was trying to do laundry or anything, she'd just have to put my niece down. And so Nora started walking and talking so young because she just didn't want to be by herself in the front room. She wanted to be where my sister was, so she would pull herself down the hallway and eventually just get up and walk herself. And my sister was partly like, God, this is the time of her life where it should be slightly easier because I should be able to just put her somewhere. But because she's like, I'm not going to be out here by myself. So she just like would get her places. And I'm like, that's kind of genius.
Because
then, like, instead of a baby being like, everything is done for you, it's like, hey, you want to be back here? Then you got to get up
get
and back, come
here.
Back here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so
just
sick.
Flight of stairs.
Yeah. Just get up here. Get up here.
Come on.
Get down there. That's what potty training is going to be like, right? Because it's just going to be like, just sit down over here. Sit down over there and let it out.
Yeah, take care of it over there in that other room.
Oh, it's scary. All this stuff is coming. But it's fun stuff. It's fun stuff. The pooping is going to be fun, right?
Oh, yeah. Once it gets solid and smelly, you're going to love it.
Yeah.
You're going to love it.
Is George talking at all yet? Probably not. Or
yeah, he says a lot of words. He's starting to like put words together.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and verbs. He says no really well.
Oh, good.
No. That's his thing. No. Stop it. He like really hits. He hits T's really hard. Like he'll say stop it. Stop it. Daddy.
That's great.
Yeah, he tells me to stop it all the time. Because he's like, I'm like his like day-to-day parent. He gets so sick of me. And, you know, by the time Drew gets home, it's like, oh, dude, just leave me alone. Go, honestly, you go take a shit. Why don't you go take a shit and smoke some weed, please, and come back.
And get out of here.
And get out of here. He says a lot of words.
Has he ever hurt your feelings? Has he ever said something so brutally truthful that hit you right in the heart?
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, just that whole thing of, like, I'm with him every day, and that moment of, like, when Drew walks in the door, I don't exist. That's really real, and it hurts every time. It hurts every time. But then it's also so funny because it just, like, he'll just give me, like, one kernel of love, and it's like...
Yeah.
It never happened. I'm like,
well, wait till the roles rip when he's 15 and you're cool as shit.
Oh my God.
You just wait.
He's going to be, he's like into trucks and cars, which is not something I'm really into. But that stuff is I'm getting into. I'm like, no, I'm a sports, music, you know, dance guy, poetry. But he's like a huge gearhead. He's always trying to fix stuff. He'll grab stuff out of your hand and he'll like get to the bottom of it. He's always trying to get to the bottom of stuff.
Yes, that's great.
Yeah,
so is
it's
that
great.
Like smudges of grease on his
He does. He did the other day, actually, because there's a big warehouse by the park that we go to.
And they crawled over there?
We went over there. He goes, like, he doesn't want to do anything but go. He says, trucks, trucks, trucks. And he does this thing where he just repeats, trucks, 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 trucks. And then you're like, okay. So we go over there, and they're, like, huge Mack trucks, and he just, like, gets in the wheels. He's so tiny. So the wheels, like, twice the size of him, and he'll just, like, climb in there with his hands, and he had grease all over his hands like a tiny mechanic. It was so cute.
He changed the oil.
Yeah. He gets in the back. He has, like, he has one of those dollies on wheels. He gets under there.
Oh, my God. That would be, you should give that to him for Christmas.
That's like a really good idea. That's a really good idea. Yeah.
That'd be the greatest.
He likes that. I think this year, his birthday's next month, and I think a toy vacuum cleaner is going to be the move. Because it's like,
oh, yeah.
He loves the vacuum. He's terrified of it, but he's also intrigued by it. And so he always talks about it. So the vacuum is going to be the move.
It's a machine.
I just mentioned this.
He's a gear.
But yeah, I have a cousin who was so into vacuums as a kid, and he wanted a vacuum for Christmas when he was like 5, and he got it. And he took it apart and put it back together. And to this, he is now a guy that owns a vacuum store.
Really?
It's just, he knew it. Yes, I'm not. None of that is a joke.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. I think kids maybe like vacuums because they
do, yeah.
Immediate results. There's a loud engine.
Yeah. And they shut off really quickly. Once you're like done, once you're done with it, you're done with it.
I'm a kid that hated vacuums because it meant no more partying between the hours of 3 and 5. My parents are home and my mom's going to vacuum outside my door and slam the door with the vacuum.
Yeah.
And I've always, to this day, my place is filthy.
Yeah. Good. Good. Mine too. Just for that same reason. It's because I hate vacuums. Reason. Yeah.
No wonder there's smudges on your baby's head.
It's just so dirty. Oh, and then bath time. And he has like this huge mop of curly hair. So my favorite line, I have two lines that are my favorite lines when people are like, oh my God, his hair is amazing. And it's so curly. It's so curly. I'll send you a picture. I say, yeah, it takes a lot of time in the mornings, but it's worth it. That's usually the reaction too. There's a pause.
That's solid. That's good.
It's great.
Yeah,
it takes people a while to actually visualize your baby in a tiny robe with curlers.
Yeah. Because they usually have to take me in, like, what is this dude doing with this baby? Why is he not dancing with this baby?
I bet you're the best dad, though, Eric, because you are A, good at improv, B, you have a joie de vivre, and you have I was just describing you earlier because I was on a meeting with Danielle Kramer.
Yes.
You probably remember from.
Oh, yeah.
Meltdown, and she was like, I saw his name and I love him so much.
Oh, she's the best.
And we were talking about, I was describing the character you played once when I did someone's talk show.
Travis?
Yes. And you just played a like a teenager that was just hanging around on the show for no reason, right? And it was so funny and so ridiculous. And you did it perfectly the entire time. I just kept going like, oh, he's still doing it.
I mean, you're so fun to play with, you know, in theater in that way. And also that was the most fun. And that's just like a dude that I grew up with in like SoCal to the end. So SoCal that his name is Travis, his last name is Travis and his first name is Travis. That's like
perfection.
Basketball shorts.
But I just say,
yeah.
It's only good news for that baby. You have to know that deep inside.
I hope so. He does. Like I said, I lost my mind. So, and like a part of that was like not doing comedy and stuff and like going like, what? Okay, I guess I'll be a plumber now. I don't know what to do. I wasn't even doing comedy that well. Like, I mean, the business side of it that well. But like, he does make me feel like the best version of myself and the version of myself that I like miss, you know, because they're like, because I started, when you do therapy, you like excavate. He loves excavators. Yeah. He loves diggers. Oh my God. He loves diggers. You dig up a lot of shit. And I was like digging up all the shit while the baby was on the way. And then it was good in that way where I was like, I feel like myself like I did in high school or like when I like
timing,
because I don't like myself that much most of the time, or I don't feel like I have a strong sense of self. And there's nothing like that kid to fucking really make you feel solid about yourself. So it is, it is the best. So I guess it's pretty good. Yeah.
I like you.
Thanks, Chris. I like you too. I like you.
I remember you, at Meltdown, I always do this. I tell someone's jokes to them, but it's one of my favorite things to do. So here we go. You were talking about wanting to get a toupee, a blonde toupee of just a few...
Two fingers.
Wispy hairs. Just a careless whisper.
Yeah.
You called it a careless whisper.
Yeah.
And I know you were improvising.
No.
And having light hazel contacts.
Yeah.
You're just describing all the ways you wanted to modify your body because... And the audience was so with you, and it was so weird, and you were in full control, and you knew who you were, but you weren't. It's all improv. It was just great. Great.
I'm not saying this because you were just
Did I
nice
say to, it wrong?
No, you did it perfect.
Okay.
The first time I saw you was like seeing, like, I was like, oh, fuck, you could just do that? Like, I remember it was like really early on. I think it was like, and I was like trying to write jokes and it really wasn't working for me because that's like not really my thing. Like I'm not like a joke writer.
But I love with that as well.
I love being on stage and I love getting to someplace with a group of people. And that's what you were doing. And you were so locked in and I couldn't tell if they were jokes or improv, which like that's a joke that I always do. The toupee piece.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
See that you pulled the trick that I've been pulling my whole life because
because I stole that from you, Chris.
No, I saw other people do it. My first time seeing like Jimmy Pardo, I saw a couple shows.
Oh my God, he's so good at that. He's the best.
And some people, I feel like they're almost disappointed when, not other comics though, when they find out, oh, he says that every time. I thought that was really good improv.
Yeah
it was at one point and it got a laugh, so you do it again. But the first time you talked about golden careless whisper, tiny blonde toupee. That was probably just, you know, talking on stage. Yeah.
I can't remember where, I'm sure it was. Like, it was just because I don't really remember sometimes. I don't record because I can't stand the sound of my own voice, but I do like, and Rory's really good at it. Like, you and Rory were like, I was like, oh, you could just do that. That looks like so much more fun than trying to write a punchline, which I can't do if I had to, which I did have to, and I didn't.
Yeah, you also had it where you, during the weekdays, your name is spelled E-R-I-C, but come weekend, it's E-R-I-Q. Weekend, Eric, baby!
Look at Weekend, because here I come, that song.
Oh,
look at Weekend, because here I come. Oh, well, shit, that's more than 3 seconds.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, no.
So many lawsuits. We just talked about this.
We'll
bleep it. And people are like, why did he just swear so much?
Yeah. He really let loose. He really let loose rhythm.
That was a long beat.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want our audience to watch that you've done or to watch in general, like a documentary or anything at all that you want to like button this conversation with?
Well, we're okay. This is great. So because we're talking about sports, right? And like the 30 for 30s. And I think the best sports documentary thing, truly, if you don't like sports, I think it's just interesting on a human level is The Last Dance. About Michael Jordan and the Bulls. Like he's such an interesting human being outside of sports. Like I can't believe we're all the same like humans. Cause he is just like such
molecularly.
Like just such a focused, interesting, incredible person. So watch The Last Dance on Netflix. I had nothing to
do with
that.
They don't paint him to be likable all that time either. He's like
And he's open about it. And then the personalities on that, like Phil Jackson is this like shaman dude and like Steve Kerr. The Steve Kerr part is like really interesting because his family, the Kerrs, were like really big into saving people during the Armenian genocide. And they opened up this orphanage in Beirut, and they saved over 10,000 Armenian babies during the genocide. What? Like, it's
Are
incredible.
You serious?
Yeah, totally. And so
you're from Beirut.
I was born in Beirut. Yeah, and I'm Armenian.
That's in Lebanon, like, right?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. God, thank God. Have you been back there ever? Have you?
No. No.
Yeah. It's kind of a hard place to visit.
I've been to Dubai. Yeah. I really want to. I want to go to Beirut in Palestine. And then for me, myself, I have an album.
Right.
It's okay. It's called Nebraska 2.
Wait, what's it called? Say it again.
Nebraska 2. It's a spiritual sequel to Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska. Because if you listen to that album, Nebraska, it's all about New Jersey. So I wanted to record an album in Nebraska called Nebraska 2. And it's on Special Thing.
Special Thing Records.
Apple.
Yeah. Apple, Spotify. Anywhere. Yeah, Spotify, Amy's Apple. Amazon.
So what? Listened? Is it an album or a special? Like, is it?
It's an album. It's an album. Oh, okay. I want to do a special. We'll see.
Well, listen to Nebraska and listen to his 30 for 30 about Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Listen to Nebraska 2.
Nebraska 2, yeah.
Not the Bruce Springsteen Nebraska
right.
album.
You could do it. You could do it after, maybe.
Well, you could do it before or after as a reflection, but Eric DeDurian's Nebraska 2 is what you're looking for. Yeah.
It was great talking to you.
Oh,
and
my God.
I know, without knowing, that you're a great father, and it'd be nice if you visited your hometown.
I know. I can't believe it's so weird that George has never been to California. It like ruins my fucking, it ruins everything.
You'll come.
Yeah.
But you should know you are one of the people, and lots of people have moved away, by the way. It's not, you know,
totally.
You don't feel isolated by that. And also know, of all the people who have, I would say easily and hands down, you're the number one missed person in the LA comedy community. It's true. You're truly special, hilarious individual who is always you're insanely talented. You're hilariously funny. Great on Twitter. I don't know if you're on there as much anymore.
No, I quit. I suck. It was ruining my brain. I was like, really, it put me in a bad mood every day.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But you were great on it.
Thanks.
And you're just a superior individual that I was genuinely elated to see your name on the email.
Same.
I just love seeing you.
Same.
You're one of my favorite people.
You are.
And all these other people that left, 90% of them, stay out. That's what we say.
But we're coming
Karen
back.
And I, when we're alone, stay out, except for Eric, we've said.
Sneak in. Sneak in on a bus. I'm going to sneak in. On a grand, me and George will. Oh my God. You guys are so nice to me. Thank you so much. I love you.
Of course. Well,
we love you.
Yeah. And go check on your baby before he climbs under a Mack truck.
Oh no.
That's also my favorite joke. Oh, Drew loves it. People love that.
Yeah, they
love it.
It's so good. Oh no, my baby.
It's everyone's favorite humor. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYN. AR! This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced by Annalise Nelson.
Mixed by Edson Choi.
Our talent booker is Patrick Kottner.
Theme song by Karen Kilgariff.
Artwork by Chris Fairbanks. Follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Dynar Podcast. That's DYNAR Podcast.
For more information, go to exactlyrightmedia.com.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Follow Do You Need a Ride on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen so you never miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, rate and review the show.
And visit the exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Do You Need a Ride merch.